Hey guys, this episode of No Simple Road is brought to you by Shop Tour Bus. Head over to shoptourbus.com or at shoptourbus on Instagram to check out their fabulous array of Grateful Dead inspired, stupendous, superfluous, magical,
superfluous
artwork and shirt
designs. What I'm looking forward to?
What?
What their Christmas themed boxes are going to be.
Holidays are right around the corner.
Right around the corner, guys. Shop Tour Bus.
I have a holiday sitting
Christmas
right in front
present.
Of me, guys. That's what's cool.
That's my last name, guys.
Get it? Holiday. I have a holiday in front of me.
It's not spelled the same, but it's cool.
But it is back to school time, too.
Also that.
So what better time to get your kids some fresh new threads than right now before they go to school? Because you don't want to send your kid looking like a bum to school.
And
you just don't.
Pencils, every box comes with a pencil.
And every class has that one kid that picks his nose, and that's the booger kid. And there's one kid that never brushes his hair,
and
that's
the
busted
kid that
up
wears
hair
the
kid
same shirt
every fucking 3 days. You don't want your kid to be that kid.
Nope, get
go to Shop
shirt.
Tour Bus, buy a shirt, and then your kid won't be that kid at school.
What if your kid is the kid with a Shop Tour Bus shirt on for 3 days in a row? That's rad.
Then that's rad. Then your kid's a deadhead, and he
wow.
Point made, babe. High five.
Give him a rad shirt to wear every day.
But you know what? You don't just get a shirt. You don't. You get more than you bargain for with Shop Tour Bus, guys.
Wait, what else do you get?
You get...
Now you piqued my curiosity. I really wasn't paying attention, but then when you said there was more things, okay. I love shirts, but what? Tell me.
What more do you like better than shirts?
Music.
Right? Don't you love music more than shirts?
Well, that's what, any shirt I buy is usually related to music.
What if
so.
The shirt that you bought came with music?
Oh, shit.
Wait, I'm not sure. That would be awesome. That'd be doubly awesome.
Well,
that's like 110%.
Shop Tour Bus is going to do that.
They're going to do that.
They're going to send you a bootleg that the universe is actually going to pick out through them
as
conduits.
Just for the cost of the shirt, I'm going to get this free, this music like comes with it.
You're going to get a cassette tape bootleg.
Holy shit, I'm going to have to get a couple.
Specifically picked for you.
But no one ever, you don't ever just get extra stuff.
You do from Shop Tour Bus.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Okay, so place your order for a t-shirt, get some free music, and that's it.
And a shirt.
Yeah, music and a shirt.
Wait,
hold
stickers?
On.
I'm not done.
Holy
and a newsletter, and candy,
what?
And other stuff.
And candy?
Yeah, and toys.
My mind's literally
he's turned into a little kid when he hit candy.
Yeah, he did.
That was so bad.
Look, get your kid something nice for school. Buy yourself something pretty. And you'll get to feel like a little kid. At Christmas time, it is like opening a present. It really is. So, they're the one and only sponsor of No Simple Road, guys. Support them. They're supporting us.
Number one.
We all love each other. We're family. This is a community. Let's do our thing. Let's take care of each other.
And
the other day when we went to see J-Rad, we saw a listener.
Oh, yeah.
And he was wearing his Shop Tour Bus t-shirt and proudly noted it. And that is rad. So be like our rad J-Rad listener. And I'm sorry, I don't remember.
It was
Andrew. If it was Andrew, then Andrew. But if it wasn't, just know that I remember the beard. It was rad.
Yeah, man. Wearing your Shop Tour Bus threads, kicking it J-Rad with No Simple Road family. That's what's up.
That is what's up.
Very cool. ShopTourBus.com or at ShopTourBus on Instagram. Get yourself something cool, man, and get more than you bargain for. Peace. Osiris.
Hey, this is Reed Mathis. This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. Check out OsirisPod.com and stay in the loop. Sign up for the newsletter to learn about the newest podcasts and events. Relix Magazine is a media partner of Osiris. For music news, go to relix.com. Osiris.
Beat.
It's not bad being crazy when you live in the asylum, is what I was going to say to you earlier.
Absolutely. I fucking agree 100%. So, yeah. Hey, now. No Simple Road family. How's it going out there, guys? It's Aaron.
It's Apple.
Mel.
In the house.
And I'm here, too.
Ryder's in the house, too. Well, okay, I'm lying.
None of us are in the
house. We are not in the house.
Gotta rephrase that.
We're on the porch. And hi, how's it going? We hope everybody's doing good out there, enjoying their time, their week, their day, their weekend, wherever it is that you're at in the time and space continuum.
Statistically speaking, probably a drive of some kind.
Or you're at work or at the gym.
Yep. Hi, guys.
Hope you're enjoying yourself. This week's episode is Reed Mathis. And man, you know, whenever we do these interviews nowadays, whenever we're done, we're like, that was my favorite interview ever. But I have to say, this is one of the few interviews that I actually was teared up during and moved me to the point where when it was over, I didn't know what to say anymore. Like, this cat is deep. Deep, like the ocean.
It was this was an education, a newfound respect for music.
Mm-hmm. I learned stuff about Beethoven that I didn't even know I needed to know, but needed to know.
Yeah. and how to hear it, hearing it differently.
And this interview fell on our lap. We did not have this planned. We went into, I can't recall right now who we were about to interview, but we were waiting there, and then here sits this unsuspecting...
Jazz's Fish.
Oh, yeah, Jazz's Fish. This unsuspecting sweetie with his baseball cap chilling, waiting to rehearse, and it's freaking Reed Mathis. And it was just a very special interview, you guys. So much to say, but, like... don't know what to say.
So yeah, we're back in this like walled off area at High Sierra Music Festival, and we were gonna interview Jazz's Fish, and we went back there to like check it out and make sure everything was cool. And I walked back there, and I've been listening to Reed Mathis and Electric Beethoven since that album came out. I fucking dig that shit. And so I follow Reed on social media, and I had hit him up when I found out we were going to High Sierra. I had hit him up and he said he wanted to do the interview, but we had been missing each other and it just didn't materialize. It just didn't happen. And so we went back in this place to check it out, and there's this dude sitting in a chair, and there's nobody back there. It's completely empty. And there's a tree with some chairs and an ashtray for smoking just to hang out. And there's one guy back there, and he's sitting there with the baseball cap on having a smoke. And I look and I'm like, I think that's fucking Reed Mathis. And I like kind of looked at him a little closer, and I was like, holy shit, that is Reed. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go say hi and introduce myself. So I just strolled up to him. I was like, hey, my name's Aaron. How you doing, Reed? He was like, hey, how's it going? So we started talking and shooting the shit for a minute. And I go, hey, look, man, I would be remiss if I don't ask. We're here doing interviews. Is it cool if we do an interview while you're here? And he was like, absolutely, man. And I was like, okay, how about tomorrow at 1:30? And he was like, okay, great. And that's how this happened. The universe wanted us to interview Reed and wanted Reed to be interviewed by us. So,
for damn good reason.
Yeah. It was magic, man. It was, I can still feel the weight of the conversation at this far after. And it's been several weeks, and
like didn't want him to leave. We like,
can we move in?
No, it was just
yeah,
like,
we could have talked all day.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was like so enthralling to hear this story, and like I love story time. That's one of my favorite things. I love to hear people that know what they're talking about tell a good story. Like, it's one thing to read it for yourself, and that's awesome too, but when it's somebody's narrating it and you can just feel free to go let your mind, it, you know, picture whatever they're saying. And I, like Aaron said, I didn't know I wanted to know about Beethoven, but I wanted to know about Beethoven.
He was like an enthusiastic teacher.
Well, he said that when we sat down before we interviewed him, when we asked him if we could interview him, I don't remember how it came about, but he said, I take every conversation I had and treat it like it's the most important conversation I've ever had in my life. And he wasn't fucking bullshitter.
No.
At all.
No.
And like you said, Mel, it's always awesome to hear a good storyteller, but it's even more awesome when that storyteller knows what's under the hood of his story and can unpack it and explain it to you in a really deep, insightful, meaningful, touching way. So to hear it put the way that it was all put was really cool.
Well, yeah, and he's an amazing musician. Like, we're just talking about Reed as, not just, we're talking about Reed as a person, and to boot, he is incredible, like, everything that he plays, it's just very skillful, and then just so chill. So you guys are really, really, really gonna enjoy this interview. I've been like patiently and not patiently waiting to come out.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I really want to hear this interview.
So before we get to the interview, let's do the business. We'll do it quick. We'll get to this one before the 30-minute mark, I promise. So follow us on Instagram at No Simple Road. If you're on Facebook, we're at No Simple Road over there. Head over to NoSimpleRoad.com. That's where you can get all your No Simple Road merch. We still have some shirts left. We have the amazing, wicked, awesome design skull logo pins up there. We got stickers, and you can also click on the family tab there. And that's where you can sign up for the No Simple Road newsletter and find out all the news, sports, weather, and information about No Simple Road. Also at NoSimpleRoad.com is all the past episodes and all the current episodes and anything that has to do with the show that you want to find out. It's also a contact thing on there, so if you want to get in contact with the show, you can reach us through there as well. Head over to patreon.com/NoSimpleRoad. Now look, guys, this is how we build the community. This is how, you know, we do what we do. It's how we keep the lights on of the show. We pay for our hosting. We do all that stuff. And I know it's a weird move to reach out and ask the community to support a thing, but this show is 100% listener supported, and that's how we do it. So, you know,
and we love it.
Yeah, man. And if you're, you know, if we're getting you through your work day, or we're helping you make it through your workout or your drive or your commute or whatever the thing is, think about spending a buck a month on that and kicking it down to the family here and helping us pay for everything we need to do. And the goal is to get me doing this full time so that I can devote myself to it. So it's not just empty dollars, they're cute dollars. And when you do that, you become a Chan donator, and you always will be as much as you can.
Little baby cute dollars.
Baby cute dollars are cool, guys. The most important thing you can do for the show, though, guys, is leave us those 5-star reviews on iTunes or whatever podcast platform you're listening to the show on. That is how more people find out about the show. And when they type in, you know, Jam Bam podcast or Grateful Dead podcast or Psychedelic podcast or whatever podcast that makes us come up relevant. So leave us those reviews. It just takes a second and it doesn't cost you anything. And it means the world to us.
And I have one right here pulled up from Jazzica, making work more enjoyable. It has been so great finding you guys. Now I'm trying to figure out, how did I find you? Anyways, I love all of the subjects you all touch upon. And again, you make me feel the same as I have felt with my Burning Man family. There is hope for us all. So yeah, I have a hard time putting it into words, but I have to say, I would love to be on the porch with you all. My husband and I are metalsmiths here in Florida, and I work for a jewelry store here. I have been somewhat miserable at work lately because I'm just over my art being used and abused and always working on poorly crafted, mass-produced jewelry. However, every day since I have found your podcast, the day seems to go by so much faster, and I feel as if I'm right there with y'all. Keep up the good work and living the dream. By the way, I have some Wolfman whiskers waiting in the mailbox to try. Can't wait. Much love, Jessica. So see you guys. Just Jazzica took the time in her day to write such an awesome review and 5 stars.
Don't get down on your job. That's so cool. I think metalworking is so cool.
I think she's down on where she's at.
Yeah, I know. It's stiff
she seems
lip.
To be
That's
loving what she's
cool
doing.
Thing.
Yeah,
and if you
she's
don't
be doing what she wants,
yep. If you don't feel like writing, you don't have to write anything. You can just click the 5 stars and move on in your day. It takes about 30 seconds, guys. There's a lot of you listening, and, you know, if half of you do it, the show will explode. So it's you. It's you that I'm talking to that feels like I'm talking to you right
Wait,
now. Go
everyone
ahead and do
right
it.
Now, stop.
Stop.
Grab a coin.
Do it.
Flip it. Everyone who flipped it and got heads has to write a review. Everyone who got tails,
just
move
leave
on.
The 5 stars. Yeah. Piece of cake. There you go. Everybody did it. We had like 10,000 reviews just now.
Yep.
Boom. So I want to talk about one more thing before we get to the interview. It's been a long, long, crazy, crazy summer. We've all been at it hardcore this summer. And I wanted to share something with you guys that I learned. And I know that all of you out there will appreciate this. At least those of you out there that allegedly take sacraments at shows and do stuff. So, you know, Curveball's happening, Dead & Company tour happened, High Sierra Music Fest happened, The Gorge happened, Fish tour happened, Playing in the Sands coming up. That's a lot of tripping, man. That's a lot of psychedelic, you know, screen time. Just saying. So if the sacrament that you're taking is of the chemical type and starts with the letter E, then I have something that will help you. Go out and get yourself some 5-HTP vitamins and some magnesium and start taking that shit now.
Remember to take your magnesium, guys.
Malate.
Magnesium malate.
And magnesium, like straight up magnesium.
So magnesium, allegedly, will help with the jaw clenching and general well-being afterward.
Also, if you clench your jaw normally, like I used to clench my jaw a lot at night, and since I've been taking the magnesium, it doesn't do that. So, like,
yep.
Just for jaw clenching in general.
And 5-HTP is the precursor in your body, allegedly, to serotonin. Nobody on this show is a medical professional. Nobody on this show is, authorized or... Nobody, we're not fucking
doctors,
man. We don't know what the hell we're talking about.
We just read some articles online.
Bunch of hippies telling you what to do. So
we tried it a couple times and it worked kind of good for us.
Yeah.
So
whatever. But
take that.
The 5-HTP is the precursor to serotonin in your body. And when you take MDMA, serotonin gets dumped and then you are at a deficit for it and you feel like doo-doo for a few days afterwards. Well, if you take 5-HTP for the week before and a few days after, it really, really helps, man.
It helps with that emotional hangover.
Yep.
When you feel like everything's gray and everything you watch is sad and movies make you cry, all that. It helps with that.
Ryder started crying the other day telling us about... He wasn't even watching. He was telling us about Inside Out.
It's a sad...
It was fucking hilarious.
It was.
Anyway...
That was.
If you're going to take the 5-HTP after a journey, wait 24 hours. Okay? That's my pro tip for the week, guys.
There you go. That's a good pro
tip. Magnesium malate, vitamin C, 5-HTP. Go to the vitamin store. Spend a few bucks. Not going to hurt you. And it'll help. I promise. It's really great. It helped me.
Make promises.
Well.
I promise.
Okay. I promise for me that it helped me. How do you like that?
There you go.
There you go.
That was.
So anyway. Reed Mathis, guys. This cat's amazing. What's up, Mel?
No.
Apple was trying to tell me to...
What?
No, she should do the...
Oh, okay. Wow. That was a hard bump right there. We just went over speed bump, but you guys are with us and we're still in the car.
I was confused.
Yeah. Anyway, guys,
you're dragging.
You're
going to
fucking enjoy this one. I promise. Here's Mel.
Without further ado, guys, sit back, relax, and enjoy Reed Mathis.
With the... Darwin's like, I'm getting in here. You guys really didn't know.
Cool.
So, thanks, man. Thanks for talking to us. Man, I appreciate it.
I'm glad. I love talking about music.
You know,
yeah.
It's a perfectly random situation.
Yeah.
So what Apple was just talking about a second ago, man. Like, I mean, like you said, you're only a day and a half in, but I'm sure there's times on the road when you're just exhausted from what you've been doing. And
yes.
What do you do? Like, how do you, when you're up there and you're playing and you're walking up onto the stage and just thinking, like, I don't know, man. Like,
well,
what's the deal? How do you get through it?
Luckily, there's, like, you know, body memory, like somatic memory that just takes over. You right. know, I've been doing this so long. I mean, I started performing with my parents when I was 5, you know?
Wow.
So that would be 1981. And so I, you know, and my parents are musicians and performers and a lot of people in my family. So I learned along with the alphabet how to carry yourself on stage and all this stuff, you know, that's just really basic learning for me, like way early.
But not basic for everybody else. That's
maybe not. But, yeah. But for me, I could be sick, you know, I could be, you know, in a depression or something or whatever. Yeah. And the minute it's time to play, I mean, I've had serious back pain vanish when I go on stage. It's just, it's like the nervous system is an amazing supercomputer that is way more powerful than we all think our brains are best thing we got going.
Right.
Our brain is 10% of what our whole nervous system can do intelligence wise. So like, yeah, I get on stage and a whole different energy tank gets plugged in that I don't have access to the rest of the day.
Can you feel when that happens?
I can feel after
okay.
it's happened.
Okay.
After I play, I always feel great after I've played. But there was a time in my life, like 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, around that time, when I was doing, you know, 280 shows a year.
Damn.
And didn't have an address. Like, didn't go home. We just toured year round. And never got hotel rooms, you know, like...
sleep in the car? Driving?
Sleep in the car, meet people at the gigs and crash on their floor. Drive overnight a lot of the time. Driving shifts, you know?
Yeah.
And that was like basic training, kind of. Like
boot camp.
I have a capacity for that I built up over years of living that way, which is an insane way to live. I could never do it now. You have to be in your like early 20s to...
It completely takes you out of your any kind of comfort zone that you have physically, right. Your little things that you like. Right. All that's gone.
All that's gone. Any sense of having a private self.
Oh shit. Where, I didn't think of that, yeah.
You know, like you have your social persona where you're out and about or you're at work or something, and then you go home and you're like, let it all go, put on my clothes I don't want anybody to see me in and just check out kind of and let your body heal. Gone. You are with your bandmates, you go to the bathroom with them. You know what I mean? Like round the clock. So that also, that's like less of a good thing, I feel like, in the long run. Like I feel somewhat scarred by those years from that experience.
Wow.
Like a price.
It took something. Like,
it took something.
It exacted a price from you.
Yeah, there's some significant scar tissue on me from that. But the positive side is the work ethic and and that my body is just trained. Like, you know, if you go up to a martial arts expert, they could be drunk and out of it and not paying attention. And if you go to attack them from behind, their body's going to fend you off automatically.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got that as a performer, basically.
And that scar tissue is part of the creative bag of tricks, too, though, right? Like, isn't that a place that you can pull from?
I mean, scar tissue, like... I would say more like coping with scar tissue can be a creative source. The wounds themselves don't do anything positive, I feel like. But the effort and the like, you know, self-education of trying to deal with nervous system damage can definitely be a creative Wellsprout. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, that's something but, that nobody ever thinks of as far as what an artist.
Right.
We just think you guys get up there and are ready for us to like listen to your music, and right. we don't know. We're not thinking about you had a cold last week or right. you missed your mom or like anything like that. We're right. just thinking yeah. you're at 100% every time you step on stage.
Yeah.
And that's, that you're all comfortable, like right. in between, you're in a plush hotel, and you got right. room service.
We're being adored all day.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Fawning fans running right. after you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very extreme and somewhat artificial way to live. You know, like...
It's definitely unique, yeah.
You know, like, it's tempting to end up with a split personality.
Yeah.
Where you have your character that is... public,
right?
And then you have your things you hide from the public, who are essentially strangers, you know. And but that is a bad way to go, because when you split yourself, it just keeps splitting.
There's no end to that.
It doesn't. You don't just get to have two parallel identities; they get further apart.
So then that one fractures and that one fractures,
right? And then they then can't heal each other, and you can't bring your spiritual resources to bear on your public problems,
right?
Stuff like that. Like you, oh wow. It's, you have to use a lot of. Or I have found that you have to use some awareness and some discipline to keep some of your actual vulnerability in public situations, like what I'm doing right now.
Yeah,
and,
you don't know us from Adam, and yeah,
you know, and like not split that stuff off, you know. And it really helps to be part of a band where there's a lot of trust, and you know you've got each other's back like a gang.
Yeah.
You know, that is what makes it even possible. I've done a few years of my career, I've done like a lot of like for hire stuff, like, which I'm here at this festival for hire at the moment. Like, I've known Skarik forever, but I've never played in his band before.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know these guys, and they definitely... don't know me, and we all get along fine, but that's very different than like these are my boys that I grew up with, that like we all been through it together, and I know they have my back. Like,
yeah,
that's totally
different. And if you have a down day, they know your personality,
right,
to where they know where to give you space or not give you space,
right,
and let you be a jerk or whatever the thing,
right,
is.
They can pick up on all your subtle stuff and
the communication. Like, we do that. Like, we function as one brain. It takes three of us, a fourth that's not here sometimes, and that communication, like a bandmate, where you don't have to say anything. They just look at you and be like, we need to take care of Reach.
You know? The personality comes out.
Right, exactly. There's, yeah, it's challenging, but the thing is that the actual making of the music is so rewarding beyond anything that could be described.
So, but you didn't, it doesn't seem like you had any other choice. Like, this was what was going to happen.
I knew at like 12.
Okay.
Probably.
By the time you were 12, I mean, if you were grooming since you were 5, what were you doing at 12?
When I was 12, I was putting all my energy into the bass guitar. You know, like I had been playing piano and cello and like singing, not just like singing for fun, but like singing from sheet music, you know, like
choral singing.
Yeah, from you know, from the age of 5. So when I was 11, my Uncle John gave me his bass guitar and showed me a couple Led Zeppelin songs or whatever.
So you actually played in Uncle John's band?
Uncle John's band.
Sorry.
I definitely
had to go there. It was low-hanging fruit.
No, Uncle John is the reason I'm sitting here.
And, wow.
And,
thank you, Uncle John.
So yeah. By the time I was 12, I was like... I think the big thing for me at 12 was Metallica. So I was learning every note on the records.
Wow.
That's...
that's when you knew. Like, this is...
I mean, that's when, yeah, when I, the reward I got from that, not the reward of public attention, but the actual intimacy with my own soul reward that I got from that was so profound. Cliff Burton, I mean, for fuck's sake, you know,
yeah.
I have an interesting story about Cliff Burton, which is that, you know, around then when I was like about 12, I was like really socially dysfunctional. And one of the ways that manifested was through, like, lying constantly at school. like complete fake biography. Like pathologically.
Like, is this split personality?
Yes,
stuff that you're talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, like, just making up stuff to try to impress people and
just be friendly
and to try to create a situation where I would feel secure. And so, one of the lies that I made up, because I had we were all skateboarders back then, so. Right. Bunch of my skateboarders, they all loved Metallica. Everybody had Metallica stickers on their skateboards and shirts and stuff. So I was like, you know, I'm like sort of a reincarnation of Cliff Burton. In fact, he died on my birthday. And this was just one of the, I don't know where it came from. It just seemed like the kind of thing that would impress other seventh graders. And they would all be like, wow, man, did you know Cliff Burton died on Reed's birthday? That's why he's so good at bass. And back then, this is before the internet, you couldn't just find out about people.
Oh, man.
You
had true.
So finally, I used to shoplift all the guitar magazines and, you know, read them to find out about musicians. And finally, when I was in eighth grade, one of them wrote about the history of metal bass, was his article. And they mentioned that Cliff Burton had died on my birthday. He actually did die on my birthday.
What?
Yeah.
So you made it up, and then in fruition it came to be.
And that spooked the fuck out of me, and I was like, I gotta watch it with...
I'm not making shit up anymore,
I gotta
man.
Watch it with my words, because, like, I don't know, it wasn't that thought out, but I was just sort of like, this is dark magic, basically.
Totally.
That's what it felt like. I was like, you gotta stop making shit up.
Yeah.
Because right now this is just
manifest
this is harmless, but what if some of the lies I told about who my parents are come true? You
so
know
did
what
you
I mean?
Scare
like
yourself straight?
Yeah.
Right.
What the fuck, man?
Freaky, right?
That's crazy shit. That's really cool. So yeah. From Metallica to Beethoven, like
yeah. That's not far jump.
No?
Uh-uh. Well, you know, the thing is, genre is like skin.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right.
Like, or your accent or something.
Okay.
So, like, you know, you could say, well, people with a southern accent are done. Like, you know, a lot of people just make that lightning decision. Oh, if you have a real thick southern accent, you're probably undereducated and racist.
Right.
Totally no correlation between those two things. They sometimes coexist.
Absolutely.
But there are plenty of people with southern accents that are brilliant and not racist at all. So, you know, so that's like basically like what's actually happening when you're a human being is not about your skin. It's about what's happening inside. So
yeah.
I feel like genre is like that. Like when you take a quick look at some music, it's like taking a glance at another human and then looking away, and then you're making an assumption. So you think, well, this one has electric guitars, that one has violins, therefore different. But that's like saying, well, this skin color and that skin color are different. Whereas the contents are nearly identical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yesterday, I think it was Jazz's Fish we were talking to.
Been a string through all of everybody's.
Yeah, this has been something that's been coming up. It's like music is a language and there's only 12 notes.
Right.
That's it.
I mean, genre is essentially a marketing tool.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
Like, who do you, every time I make a record and I get a new publicist or a new manager or something, and they're all, one of their questions is always like, well, who's the audience for this music?
People.
And I'll be like,
how are we going to market?
Right, like where do we buy advertising, basically? That's what genre is. It's like, it's an assumption about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when you buy into it, you're agreeing with those assumptions.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like it's like, yeah. Oh, well, you know, like those algorithms you see on like on the internet.
Statistics.
When you see the ads where they're like, well, if you liked Miles Davis, then you'll probably like this awful other thing that our algorithm says is like Miles Davis. That couldn't be more different than Miles Davis, but their algorithm thinks they're similar.
Yeah, computer has no feeling.
Like, well, if you like Fish, then you must like this totally mediocre, uncreative jam band from wherever you live. You know, like, it's like, no. What I like about Fish isn't that they're a jam band. What I like about them is that they're innovators and genius and warriors and all the stuff. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like that the things that I like about it are not what you would assume. So with Beethoven, that's basically what's going on there. What I like about it isn't that it's classical. What I like about it isn't that it has violins. What I like about it is it's those aren't the things
what,
I like about
what
it.
What do you like about it, though?
The gut feelings that he articulated. I mean, he's one of those people that was like a shaman, you know, that, some people invent because they want to be inventors.
Right.
Other people invent because their nervous system is doing something extreme.
It's in them.
Yeah. You know, Jimi Hendrix wasn't like, you know what, I'm going to reinvent the electric guitar and I'm going to create a whole bunch of new sounds. He was just trying to give voice to what he was actually experiencing in his body. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
That was not conscious to make the guitar do those things, which now we take for granted. Every guitar player does those things. But he wasn't like, I'm going to start a new kind of guitar playing. You know, he just did what he needed to do for him.
Right.
You know, and he died at 27, so we didn't even get the sound of that evolving. We just got the initial explosion, really. You know, but Beethoven was a person who, you know, didn't have any formal training, and he was orphaned at 15, and he had two little brothers. They lived in a small town, and he started gigging to feed his little brothers.
See, when you're telling, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're telling the story like this, it's, I could read this in a book, but hearing it from you like this,
right,
coolest fucking thing, man. Thank you.
You just have to, the way to think of an artist is to compare their life to yours.
Yeah, I feel like you said that, gigging.
Yeah, that's why I
assume Beethoven's gigging. That's not the language of back then.
He's
so
got his guitar. And
how do you know it wasn't the language of back then?
You're right. I don't.
All you know is what classical musicians now are like. But they're reenactors.
Wow.
They're like Civil War reenactors.
Well, like some of that history, Amadeus, I mean, they were nuts. Some of them just dark raven nuts.
Well, they were no different than us. I mean, 200 years is not enough time for evolution to have changed what being a human feels like.
Right.
You know.
So he's gigging to feed his
brothers. So, at 15. And then once his little brothers were old enough to fend for themselves, he moved to Vienna, which was like moving to New York.
Okay.
You know, like where are the gigs? Where can you actually do really well at this? And he made up a fake backstory. He made up, like Bob Dylan, he made up a fake last name, and told people that he was the son of a king in an obscure country.
And there was no internet, so nobody could find out.
And nobody could talk. But he was so good at the piano that he started working. You know, and back then piano had just really been invented. Before that, people played organ and harpsichord.
Harpsichord, yeah.
So piano was like a generation old at the time.
Okay.
Kind of like when Hendrix found the guitar, it had been around,
but nobody was doing it.
Nobody
like that.
Had made a volcano erupt with it yet. And his shtick was that, so pianists were touring Europe at that time.
Okay.
Just performing solo. And so his shtick was when a famous pianist would come to Vienna, they would go and play their show pieces, and then he would go on after them and play back what they had done, like a tape recorder.
With no
sheet music. And then once he had played back what they had done, he would improvise. He would start improvising based on what they had played and turn it into, you know, God something in full color, you know? So his shtick was basically that he was a great mimic, and then on top of that, he was an improviser. Nobody had ever really seen that, you know. People could improvise like fancy stuff, but he was improvising stuff that made people cry and freak out, you know. And I mean, there's an apocryphal story that women were having orgasms spontaneously watching him play,
and that much emotion.
They were banned from, because he was so rhythmic too. Like he was the first European musician to use African rhythm, basically. Like, right. His grandmother was black, and he had grown up with some culture that most people didn't grow up with in that part of the world at that time. And he's all through his life, he studied African culture, African music, Indian music. He was super into...
So it sounds like magic was infused in what he did.
That, and he was a missing link between cultures that was unprecedented.
So when you start digging into that as a musician, like, a lot of musicians play Beethoven. Like you said, they're Civil War reenactors.
Right.
That's not what you did.
No.
Because from the listener standpoint, it feels different.
Well, yeah, and, well, the thing is, he got that career going where he was getting this reputation as a pianist, getting to where he might be able to be one of these touring guys too, because they all came from money. Back then, the class system was serious. So, and he was working class, he was poor, you know, which is why he changed his name and all that shit. But just when it was starting to click, he was like in his late 20s, and he was becoming famous. And then he started going deaf. Out of nowhere. No injury, nothing. And
mojo.
By the time he was 33, he was completely deaf.
So how, laying your head on it, feeling the vibration, muscle memory, nervous system?
Well, by then, I mean, he'd been playing piano for 20 years, so
it's part of you.
It's no problem, you know. He knew, you know, I mean, when you go deaf, your imagination doesn't go mute.
Okay.
Your ears go mute.
Right.
You're still hearing speech. You're hearing your own... thoughts are... When you think, you're hearing yourself talk to yourself. You know, like, that doesn't go away when you go deaf.
Okay.
Like, your brain is still connected to your auditory shit. It's just that the hardware broke.
Yeah. The inner monologue is still going.
So he went deaf, and then he couldn't really perform. And he had... he wrote a suicide letter to his little brothers, that is heartbreaking to read. He never mailed it. They found it after he died as an older man. And he moved out to the country because some doctor said maybe you should rest your ears. Maybe it'll come back if you just have silence for 6 months. Don't talk to anybody, nothing. And that's when he wrote the suicide letter. He moved out to the woods in a little cabin, didn't see anybody for 6 months. When he came back, he had written his first symphony, which was completely unprecedented. It didn't sound like anything that had ever happened before. It was narrative in a way that had never... Not narrative with lyrics. It was instrumentally narrative. Like what we would now call film scoring.
Okay.
Where there's obvious action taking place and obvious emotional shifts and characters that come back. And like, he had turned instrumental music into his private universe. And more than that, he had figured out a way to write down the trauma process
that he was feeling.
Yeah, he had had a traumatic life before he went deaf, but then the only thing, his source of survival was removed.
Yeah, you got your ears taken from you.
And he had to not only not kill himself, but do the opposite. Decide that this new life as a deaf person was good. This is good. This is a good situation. I'm good. He had to somehow get from A to B, which is what shamans do.
He went through the dark night of the soul.
He did. And more than that, he went through it with the skill set and the imagination to write it down.
So he gave us a roadmap through the abyss.
A roadmap through healing from trauma. So
his music...
He used to make the hair stand up on my arms, dude.
So like,
that's fucking cool.
His music is like a series of yoga positions.
The asanas, yeah.
Yeah. Do these things in this order enough times, and your nervous system will repair itself.
So
when you get inside that yourself, because you had to crawl inside under the hood.
Yeah.
Of it.
Well, I started having these experiences
when I was
listening to him.
Wait a minute. This double personality thing is really coming in a lot through this conversation.
Right?
Because even with him,
yeah,
that's exactly what you're talking about. And it's almost as if it is necessary to happen in order to...
Right. He had this fake persona that was going to be a successful performer. And going deaf took that option off the table. You can no longer lie. Everyone knows you're deaf now. Everyone can tell. So there, your fake idealized version of yourself is now done permanently. You have no choice but to be honest from here on out. That's what the position he was in.
I feel that from you.
Right?
Like, so much.
And then I had this one LSD trip where I listened to the Third Symphony, where he enacts his suicide and then is reborn. The first movement is called In Memory of a Great Man, and it's all this posturing, I'm a hero. The second movement is the funeral march, and there's an actual moment where I feel like you can hear him say, no, I'm not going to kill myself. You know what I mean? There's a chord change where it's like,
wow,
fucking
on the
amazing.
Precipice and stepping
and
back.
Then, yeah, and then stepping back, and then this eruption of fucking energy as soon as he makes that choice. But he makes that choice. It's the quietest moment in the whole symphony when he just turns a little bit and then you're good. And then the next two movements are this uprising of energy and like a victory march, basically. So I had this experience listening to this on LSD when I was 19.
Right.
And I realized that what I was listening to was Jimi Hendrix and John Coltrane and, you know, all these artists.
We're hearing the muse.
Yeah, you're hearing the muse and you're hearing the meta, like, brain circuitry that where the human becomes self-aware and then becomes able to heal themselves on purpose. Yoga, basically.
Yeah.
So I was just sort of like, you know what? This could be played. This could be played by me and my friends, not by the people that are ordained by the state to play this music.
Right.
But anybody, this is like Bob Dylan music. This is folk music. This is the people's music, you know? And that, it took me 20 years to get around to it, but I knew in that moment that it was a good idea.
It's so special.
Basically.
It's so special, Reed.
Like, a hell of an idea.
I had had those minor, not anything close to what you're talking about, but tripped and listened to classical music before,
sure.
You know, as him and I as teenagers doing our thing, like whatever. And it never got inside though. It never hooked me like the way a Live Dead album or
right.
something else did. And what you did really made it approachable for someone with the mindset like I have or had when I first heard it, like to get inside of it and
yeah.
and go, oh shit, this is what the thing is. Now
right.
I get it. And like I was saying, when you get inside of it and you're under the hood the way you were, are you feeling that shamanic
yes.
presence from him and the whole thing?
I mean, I wouldn't say from him, he's dead.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
but I feel access to that conduit of energy, but that's because we have nearly identical brain circuitry. I mean, for fuck's sake, we're 98.7% identical to chimps. So between you and I, the difference between us in our neurowiring and how our bodies feel and operate is so slight as to be
minuscule.
Like
yeah.
we are nearly identical, all of us, every human on the earth. And so he tapped into that shit. And
I love that because you're bringing more similarity and unity as opposed to where we were talking earlier about genre and separation and
right.
how to mold you into a certain thing so these people can like you
right.
instead of saying, this is what I do.
Right. Skin.
It, like, just feel it, accept it,
right.
take it in.
I mean, ideally, you know, I fought with my manager about calling the band Electric Beethoven because I didn't want it to be about Beethoven. As far as I don't want people to be thinking the word classical while they're listening to us play. I don't want people to be thinking about Beethoven. Most people don't know about Beethoven. They think Beethoven and Mozart and Bach and all these things are one thing, even though they were hundreds of years apart.
Right.
You know, Beethoven and Bach are as far apart as you and Louis Armstrong. But they act like it's the same thing.
Same deal, yeah.
So I didn't want all that baggage to be part of people coming to see us play.
Yeah.
But he was like, you know, we won't. We'll have a much easier time promoting this if we just say what it is. So I was like, okay, whatever. And he put the word electric on there because of LSD, I guess.
Okay.
So.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. I didn't even cross my mind, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I lost that battle.
You lost the battle.
I've never been a big one for naming things.
You fucking won the war, though.
But what's important to me is that, like, we can apply our what we call dance music, dance rhythm, like what the rhythms that make us feel funky, to these forms, these chord progressions. You know, we're not copying all of everything he about what he wrote. We're copying. We're playing it like you would open a Grateful Dead songbook, and it says C, G, F, and the lyrics are written above, and you just strum C, G, F. We're playing Beethoven like that.
Okay.
Where all the details are up to you. You get to be yourself. When you play a Grateful Dead song, do you do an impression of those guys? Or do you do what feels good to you?
You do what feels good, totally.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is what has been completely removed from the classical world, if it was ever there.
It's become structure and you play the structure.
It's not about you. It's like this. It's like the Catholic Mass. You're just doing it because you do it, because this is what we do. And it's like you just say the words, you read the script. It's become like a script.
Yeah.
And he was an improviser, and all of his music came from him improvising. He would improvise at the piano. I mean, after he went deaf, he cut the legs off, and put, so the whole body of the piano was on the hardwood floor. And then he would kneel. He played kneeling or cross-legged on the floor so that the whole floor would come up to his body. You know, and then he would improvise, and then he would be like, that was good, write it down.
Because it felt
good, and because something would click, like a songwriter. He was closer to John Lennon than he was to Bach.
Okay.
In his process. You know what I mean?
That's...
Wow. We do now. I mean, yeah. Thank you for that. This is an education.
Yeah, because
I mean...
That's this really is, cool.
Wow.
I just want to really quick go back to that LSD trip, and the only reason why is because... You said you listened to that and then it changed something.
Yeah.
Did you feel your story in that?
Yes. I felt, you know, Joseph Campbell talks about the hero with a thousand faces, that like basically all stories, all great stories have this fucking arc. Mm-hmm. And that's not because we all got together and shook hands and said, this will be the arc. Yeah. It's because that's an accurate model of our human nervous system.
Wow.
So... That's the shaman's not goal or duty, but that's his path.
The mark of a shaman.
The shaman's way is to
shamans
pass through the dark.
Shamans they're going
to
do right. that. They have a schizophrenic breakdown and they recover.
Wow.
Did you say that's safe, something to happen to you during your travels?
I don't know. I mean,
schizophrenic sounds like a harsh word, but you know what I mean? Like just kind of like a...
I mean, I've definitely healed from a variety of injuries.
Shit.
Yeah.
But that's we all do that. That's
absolutely.
That's why you're rooting for Luke Skywalker when you will see Star Wars. That's that's why these stories work. That's why all these stories have the same arc, because we're all doing that all the time. Nobody had perfect parents. Nobody had a perfect childhood. We were all wounded before we could talk. And we all spend the rest of our lives recovering from that. And
from additional wounds.
And then on top of that, the new wounds.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I mean, I relate to Beethoven as a guy on that level.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't gone deaf and I wasn't orphaned and, you know, those same things haven't happened to me. But other awful things have happened. And,
sure.
And awful things happen to everybody. We're all, that's, you know, like, you know, that's the Buddha. That's the first noble truth, you know.
Life is suffering.
Yeah. I mean, actually, that's a mistranslation from what I understand from the original Pali, which was Buddha's language. You know, like, all life is off. Like, the word he used was dukkha. which is when one of your wheels on your vehicle is an oval.
Okay.
It's not a perfect circle. So it never
warped.
It's never smooth, basically. He's like, it's never gonna work. All life, it's not all life is suffering, it's that all life will be
a little
will
off.
Feel wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're in this
your relationships are gonna feel wrong.
We're in this body.
Your identity's gonna feel wrong.
That.
Your feelings are gonna be uncomfortable. You're gonna be uncomfortable in your body. And then you're gonna go grow old and die. Like that's not because of you. That's because that's what happens in this dimension to everything. You know, no tree is in the ideal place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
it's like, yes!
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is it! This is it!
Score!
You know?
Then they wouldn't grow.
And even if you do feel like you're in the ideal relationship or the ideal job, it's gonna go away. Eventually, that relationship's gonna run into problems. Eventually, that job, that company's gonna fold. Whatever it is,
yeah.
It's you. You're never gonna be good to go. You're never gonna be completely safe permanently.
Well, I think that's part of the deal of incarnation at its base is like we made an agreement at some point to
right.
I'm gonna get to taste chocolate and drink coffee and have sex and right. smoke cigarettes, but I'm not gonna remember
right.
what and, it feels like out there.
And coffee's gonna hurt me. And
and chocolate's and bad for me.
Sex is gonna hurt me. Chocolate's gonna hurt me. Even if it doesn't, it'll be taken away. So wow. You know what I mean? So like,
thank you for getting up there and being vulnerable through all of that shit.
Right on. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
I just want to give you the biggest hug. Like I feel so.
I see it. Both are. All
I know.
Of us
well, no, like yeah.
I mean, it's like the realest stuff.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have less to do with marketing a fucking band.
And I could give a fuck less about what tracks you picked for the album. Like it's not what these interviews are. Yeah.
And I, you know, that's one of the reasons why the Grateful Dead are such a beacon to me in this field of work. In this
and you've
field
got
of
to
business.
Work with them.
Yeah, I've worked with those guys many times.
Yeah.
You know, is that they threw all that stuff out the window and it worked anyway, basically.
You know? Yeah.
They didn't do anything right as according to the industry, and it fucking worked anyway. And it worked because it connected with people on a level that nobody understood. It connected at the nervous system level where you don't know why you like it. They don't know why you like it. I remember seeing somebody ask the Beatles, like, why does everybody like your music? And he's like,
I don't know.
We have no idea. You know, but it's because it was doing something that needed to be done, that people needed.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you that.
Why do you like drinking water when you're thirsty?
Because
I don't know.
It's part of me.
But you definitely know you like it.
And you know you're fucking wanting when you're thirsty, too.
You don't need to know why, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's true. Humans always want to know why. Right. Why? And why'd you wear that outfit?
Because
why'd you do this? Why?
The reason you want to know why is so you can prevent future discomfort. If I know why, then I won't be in danger later. You know.
So you think it's just an evolutionary thing?
If I know why people like a certain band, then I don't have to take a risk. I can do what I know works, and then I'll be safe.
Oh, shit. Okay, that makes sense.
But you're never safe. You've never, at no point will your future be good to fucking go. That's,
we're good now, just put it on the cruise control.
People become billionaires and then they're surprised that they still have depression. Uh-huh. You know, it's like, because you're never going to fix this.
Life keeps happening.
It's never going to be fixed from here on out. You know, like you're.
But there's those moments that turn you. You're going along and you get turned.
Yeah.
And those are for me, like that's what I've stayed after.
Yeah.
Like going to my first Dead show was one of those moments where, boom, different trajectory for the rest of my life.
Totally.
Meeting her.
Totally.
Boom. Having a kid. Boom.
Yeah.
And those things have happened over and over again. But it always seems to me like it's music is the thing.
Yeah.
Why is like that's? I want to know the why.
I mean, I'm not asking you to. I have some information on that, which is that music uses more parts of the brain than any other human activity, except maybe sex.
Okay.
But if you go under an fMRI machine where they can see what parts of your brain are active, it's like Alzheimer's patients that can't remember their spouse's name can remember music, can respond to music.
Like the,
you know,
music never stopped.
Oh, that movie, kid, yeah.
Did you see where the kid replays the music?
Yeah. Yeah, it somehow accesses the verbal part of your brain without using any words. It accesses the memory part of the brain without containing any memories.
And some spiritual part too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, gosh, when there's just times where I just have to hold my hands up and like, I'm reaching for something. I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling it's coming from somewhere through the music.
It aligns the different parts of you and it helps them communicate with one another so that you feel less tension inside yourself, less stress. You feel... And if you're at a show, you notice that that's not only you, and you suddenly realize that you and people you've never met have a lot in common. And you realize that at a unconscious level where it really has an impact on you. And, you know, that's the power of live music, you know, is like, it goes past words. It goes past knowledge. Genre. It definitely goes past genre. I mean, genre's not even a real thing. You know, that's like, you know, I mean, like...
Like, our skin color is literally made up, too, because in this room, does it matter at all?
Right.
No.
In this festival, well, does it matter at all?
And do a genetic test. Who is a pure race anyway? What does that even mean? We're all mutts.
Yeah.
Like, they're... Whatever race they say you are is the dominant genetic stuff that you have. Not all of it.
Right.
Like
there's no way to calculate
human.
Yeah. At this point, we're all in this together, you know?
So that's that communication that's been, like I said, been weaving throughout all of our interviews is that musical communication, that language. And that's kind of like what the musician is, a communicator. And
right.
The more that they practice, the better at communication they get and more ways to communicate, which
right.
is such an awesome thing because it doesn't leave anybody out.
But, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, like, too... We've talked a lot amongst ourselves. For us, the musicians that we go see are shaman.
Right.
Yeah. Simple, pure. When I go see CRB, Chris Robinson's a fucking shaman.
Yeah, man.
Up there spinning that shit up, dancing, bringing the energy.
Yeah.
Swirling it. And I see it happen over, not just him, but over and over again, moving it and directing it. And to be in that, man, and... That participation, when you're in that headspace, is it automatic when you're up there doing that thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely involuntary.
Okay.
I mean, a musician that you connect with is somebody who has realized something about themselves that is true for you as well.
So you're like, seeing a reflection?
They're telling the truth about themselves. And it's showing you a truth about yourself.
Okay.
That's what that connection is. It's not, because think about it. If you see an acrobat, you don't have the same experience because you're like, wow, that's amazing. Like you can go on YouTube and see these guitar players who do acrobatic things on the instrument that are amazing, but you don't feel a connection to it.
No.
The great music, the great musicians are the people where you say, me too, buddy. Like, I've had that same experience. Like, maybe you didn't even realize something about it that they're showing you. But they're showing you something about your experiences.
They're showing you a memory of yourself.
They're helping you integrate your own experiences.
Absolutely. That's Sturgill Simpson last night.
Straight up, man. I was listening
lyrics,
to his voice and I was just like, whoa.
His lyrics, and the way that he said, it's like so haunting in the beautiful, the most beautiful way I've ever heard. And at times it wasn't even a full pronunciation of the word. It was just the sound and the tone, and it was like,
yeah, it's like it does something to you physically. You're not thinking, wow, this is good.
Yeah, it's not.
You're having a visceral experience.
There's nothing
like that feeling.
And to me, that's the only music that's worthwhile. I have no time for anything else. Like, I want that. It's that visceral experience or nothing for me.
I felt like that too when I found all this. Like, I don't want anything else. I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to do anything else. And obviously life gets in the way of all of that, and you have to do your thing. But like, having the opportunity to be around it, it's done everything for my life, man.
Me too.
Everything.
Me too. I've given up everything for this.
Wow.
Not once, daily. You know?
Wow.
I mean, you know.
Consistently.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're never done sacrificing.
No,
you know.
Okay,
but like, you know, I just nothing comes close for me. As
we feel
just
it,
my own, you know, I definitely want people to, I want to be doing something that's worthwhile to others, but I'm there because this music heals me,
and that's why it's honest, and that's why. Because it's yours. It's,
right.
It's your thing, and you're sharing.
You're not a musician unless you would do it for no reward. Unless you would do the same music for if nobody showed up ever. If you never got any positive feedback, or then you're a musician. Anybody who throws in the towel when the game is tough, if like people don't like it or
and
something,
then you stop.
Well, then you're an actor, which is fine. I love actors.
Yeah, movies are great.
But that's not the same thing. You know,
and that's why we've seen a lot of like starting with Metallica and stuff. It's a different thing. The jam band scene. How many times have we gone to a show where we walk in? It's like, man, I hope more people show up for these guys. They still come out on stage, no matter how many people are in the room, and they pour it out. And it all comes back. We keep everybody we interview. The word truth keeps coming up again and again. Then we got to be true. We did that when we started this. We learned getting in it. We just got to be true. And people say that. It's like we dig your truth, your openness. You put yourself out there, and it comes back.
That's
the river isn't less wet if nobody shows up to the river, you know. I mean, if it's in your nature, it's in your nature.
It
and,
is, yeah.
And like, you're not doing it for an audience. You're just doing it because that's what you do. You don't, you know what I mean? Like,
you're not like, the donkey isn't like, I'm being a donkey right now.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He's a fucking donkey all the time when you're there or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, for a lot of people, that's what playing music is like. And a lot of audiences assume that's what it's like for us. That we're there because there's an audience and because we feel amazing performing we want all this social feedback, you know, but that's not it. But, you know, that's candy, not nutrition, you know. The thing that makes this shit worthwhile happens if people are watching or not.
So there's the. Wow. It's gonna happen whether people are watching or not.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like there's really something bigger going on right now.
Yeah.
At this time.
Tell me more.
Okay. So things are so broken out there. Divided, messy, there's the media, there's all this programming coming into everybody's heads.
Totally.
And they're scared and have walls in front of them. And then they come to something like this. And they see everybody smiling and sharing their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're getting the vibrations of this music. And the shaman are up there spinning up the energy and moving everything. And their lives are changing and their hearts are opening. And there's a revolution happening,
right?
In my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's not raised fists and screaming in the streets. It's this, coming together and having conversation, sharing music, feeling what it feels like to get along,
right?
And to be together.
Yeah.
Because it's
safe.
It's antithetical to the world that we live in right now.
Right.
Because the world tells us that we don't have enough. That we're never going to get there.
Yeah.
You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not thin enough.
Right.
You're not white enough. You're not black enough. You're not whatever enough. And you come here and you're like, wait a minute. Nobody gives a fuck if I stink.
Right.
If I, right?
Yeah.
If I don't have water, somebody will help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. And then the cherry on top is the vibration that comes.
Yeah, man.
So it's, there's, yeah.
It's wonderful. It's, that's the reason that this is a community. Yeah. You know?
And I think it's doing real good.
Yeah, it's not entertainment. That's over when you leave.
Not candy.
It's like a yoga retreat or something. It's like, it's good for you. It's genuinely good for you.
Vibration is getting stronger. Everything we go to, the more we do this, it just, the vibration, and a big thing we talk about a lot is like kind of a resurgence for us and a lot of people was when they did the Grateful Dead Fare Thee Well. For all of a sudden, it seemed like there was a resurgence, and we see it here. Like we see the, to
more
see these
resurgence.
And to see these kids like that are they're 16, 18, in their early 20s, and you used to kind of look at that and be like, they don't get it. They're just putting on the costume and stuff. But you get out here and you dance with them, and you talk to them, and you smile and you hug them. They fucking are getting it, and it's getting stronger.
Kids are hip.
And it's growing.
And you can't know what their experience is.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
They might get it, but not know how to express that for another 10 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's... I know when I came in to the whole thing, like, there was older heads that...
Thought you didn't get it, probably.
Yeah, and took us under their wing in a lot of ways, too. Like, don't fucking do that. Don't talk during the fucking show. Keep your mouth shut, man. Listen to the music and whatever their trip was, but... There has to be that thing to keep it going. And I see it happening. And like he just said, it's getting stronger and it's spilling out. And like you said, it doesn't stop when the festival ends. It's not like I go put on a tie and go, you know, and whatever. This is who we are.
Yeah.
And the same way that music is touching those people. Everybody's so disconnected from each other. They have the illusion of connection through their phone. But there's people that go through an entire week without ever talking to another person or looking them in the eye.
Yeah.
And so having conversations like we're having right now and then sharing it, it's healing for people.
Yeah, and it includes them. So they feel like you said, maybe they just don't know how to articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but by being part of like listening in, like, yeah, that's what I mean. I couldn't say it because their vocabulary and their communication is through a machine. And so when they're hearing live people, live music, real events, that's when they start, wow, like they feel it, they're getting it. They just don't have the language yet to say it, which those generation, those 20s and late teens, they're amazing. These kids are going to be capable of things that we can't even dream of yet.
Right.
Raised
like we're talking to these kids, these little kids.
Oh my gosh!
These festival and like jam, and it's obvious they've been on the road. Like I saw one yesterday, and I was like, look at her go! And dad looks proud as can be. Dread's been on, you know, he's a road dog. He's like, and she's only fucking four, bro. She's like, man, in and out of the crowd, looking like determined, man. Where her head's at? A four? Holy shit! Watch out, you know. it's just crazy. It's so cool to see this. It is so healing.
So, one last thing.
Yes, sir.
So, as we're talking, we brought up all this, and for us, when we started doing what we're doing, there wasn't a clear intention in the beginning. I just wanted to tell my story.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep.
And then it started becoming its own thing. And we're in it, but we're watching it at the same time with detachment going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Holy shit. And then it starts picking up momentum. And you're like, do I put my hands in it? Do I keep my hands off? Do I just, you know what I mean? That dance.
Uh-huh.
And there's layers that have been added on as you go. Do you feel like that with music for yourself? Like it's constantly revealing itself as you go along? Or is it something that you just participate in at this point?
Man, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
Okay.
I mean...
Is there intention at this point? Like, something that you were trying to get across?
maybe non-verbally when you play?
No.
It's just
to have the experience and share the experience. It's not very goal-oriented for me, you know.
That's why it's beautiful.
I mean, I've dabbled with goals.
Yeah.
But in my case, doing what I do, I don't think they're helpful. I think that the skill set that I need to develop is being present and being here in this moment, open, vulnerable, honest, brave. You know, that's the skill set that matters for this job. You know, you can't plan for the future.
If you try to plan, it goes off the rail. You did that to yourself. In all of our interviews, we did like one, I think, where he was like, okay, I need to write down questions for this. It sucked.
Can't do it.
He right. did two questions, and then he threw it's the notebook me. Down and was like, okay, back to myself. So,
right.
You're know, not going to put on
like,
the,
you know, like
the costume.
Charlie Parker, what, there's an audio recording of Charlie Parker giving a saxophone lesson in the 40s, you know, and the kid asks if should I learn all these scales and all this stuff? And he goes, yes, you absolutely should learn all of them and then forget them. Completely forget them. Like do the work, do the research, do the preparation, and then absolutely throw all that out.
What?
And go with the moment.
Words of wisdom.
You know, like you.
Like do it
because
yourself.
You won't yeah, be. Well, and you won't be you. Present if you're thinking. You won't be present if you're remembering.
So that's what you need. That's why.
You so
need
like
to
you don't think about how to use a fork. You're not like put your fingers around the fork, put the food on it. Don't tilt it. You're not talking yourself through that. You've worked all that out, and now you just go, ding. You don't even think the word fork when you touch it.
Right.
Jam on the fork now.
You know what I'm saying? So that's where it's at for me. Is like do the work necessary, but then. Be present.
I think that's. I'm not even gonna try and ruin the end of this with anything else. I'm just gonna calmly push stop.
Equal the perplexities of the current road.